Hey there. Thanks for joining me for Bird Brained Ramblings, a conversational podcast dedicated to admiration and conservation of birds worldwide. I'm John Hardy, and thanks for tuning in. A quick note for all of you bird nerds, while I try to avoid sensitive and controversial content, please know that when something does come up, I'm sharing and discussing my own opinion and have no intent of offending anyone. Keep an open mind and be open to agreeing to disagree. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me today. I'm John Hardy and I love birds. I mean, that probably sums up anyone listening to this podcast. Either that or you're just a friend of mine listening because I begged you. Thanks, by the way. But it wasn't until about a year ago that birds started to really grab my attention. I'll share more about my birding story in a later episode. But the world of birds has offered a place of solitude, excitement, friendship, and adventure in a time of my life that was otherwise fairly depressing. It wasn't until recently when I made plans to do a Georgia State big year in 2022 that I decided a podcast would be a wise thing to do. This way, I can share about my birding adventures with you all, interview other birders who maybe aren't as much of a beginner like I am, and discuss conservation topics along the way. So, welcome to the Bird Brained Ramblings podcast. Go ahead and sit back and listen in. Join me in this adventure. All right, so to start out, I'd kind of like to talk about our recent October Big Day. If you're not familiar with what October Big Day is, it is a global day where birders around the world take time to see as many species as possible in a day. A lot of people join teams and they compete against each other, if you're me, a lot of times I've just gone out and gone birding on my own on those days and planned my entire day around birding and made big plans to see, you know, different places and things like that. It's been a great time for birding recently. Fall migration is in full swing. And so at the beginning of the month, that's when October Big Day is. I recently took some time to look over the stats that were gathered by eBird about October Big Day. And it took some time because there's a lot of stuff there, a lot of good information. But to boil it down for everybody, there was 7,287 species of birds observed, 79,331 checklists were submitted by over 33,000 participants. That's huge. That is like such a big deal. In the United States alone, there were 687 species identified, and over 33,000 checklists were submitted just from the United States. We were the leader in checklist numbers. Of course, we're not the leader in species because that would be, you know, the tropics. I can't remember what country was actually the leader there, but we are the leader as far as checklists that were submitted. So I wasn't able to participate this year in October Big Day, which kind of stunk. I'm not gonna lie. I really wanted to, but I had already made plans for that weekend and it just didn't, the dates didn't match up the way I wanted them to. So, but I did take some time to go birding a few days later on my own kind of sort of big day effort. And so I'll talk about that more in another episode as well. But it was really cool. And, you know, one of the things that I like about October Big Day and also Global Big Day in May, it's just super encouraging to see so many birders join together in a day of friendly competition and, you know, celebrating conservation of birds. You know, in a world that is so full of like hate and lots of finger pointing and things like that, it just feels good to be part of a community of people who put aside their differences and simply focus on the nature around them. Nature brings people together. It's like a glue that just holds things together. And so that's been really cool, you know, to get to see that happen. I wanted to read over some of the highlights that I found from the United States on October Big Day. I kind of wanted to just share those. There was a great gray owl that was seen. It was submitted by a birder in the United States, but If you know anything about birds, then you know that the great gray owl is a very sensitive species. And due to that, the information about who saw it and where they saw it was hidden. So we couldn't read that information, but there was a great gray owl seen in the United States on Big Day, which was a really cool thing and big deal. There was also, let's see, there was a report of a Cassia crossbill, which is an endemic species to a very small area of Idaho. If I'm being completely honest here, I did not know that the Cassia crossbill was actually a species. And so it was really cool to see that because I clicked the link to go look at the page and kind of read up on the Cassia crossbill some just to kind of familiarize myself with it. There was a lot of hybrids reported, which, you know, of course, you know, we encourage, submitting hybrids because, you know, they don't count as species today necessarily, but down the road, who knows, you know, the checklists may change and they may split a hybrid, and make it a species of its own. And so, you know, if that was to happen, obviously you'd end up with an armchair lifer, which is a huge deal. Of course, it may get taken away again in the future, but, you know, that's how checklists work. It's just, it's always changing, it seems like. So that was really cool. There's a lot of them on there. You can look over the list online at eBird. There was a really neat-looking observation in San Diego, California. They saw a black-throated magpie jay, and that one's really cool. I didn't, you know, I've heard of it and stuff before, but I had never seen, like, an actual live picture of it. And it's just got this massive tail. I mean, it's something that you really would want to see in your life at some point. So, hey, I'm going to make a plan to go see one day. also in California, there was an observation of a dusky warbler, which is rare to our area. Pretty neat. That's, you know, that's definitely not something that's seen every day. So of course, you know, I could go on. You know, there was so many things reported. I mean, like I read a minute ago, 687 species, like that's a lot. I could go on forever, you know, and talk about each individual species, but those were just some of the coolest highlights. I'm looking forward to next year on October Big Day. I'm going to, you know, go ahead and start thinking about planning ahead, making sure that I participate in that. And that'll be part of my Georgia Big Year also, because it falls in 2022. And, yeah, we'll talk more about my big year in just a second, but, you know, I'm really looking forward to the big year, but I really want to make sure that I participate in October Big Day because I haven't done that before. So, it was just really cool to see all that. So, you know, definitely wanted to read off some of the highlights. So with all that being said about October Big Day, I also wanted to read off, you know, some of the recent rarities in the state of Georgia. By no means is this a Georgia themed podcast, but for right now I am focusing mostly on Georgia because of my big year. My big year is only going to be focused on my home state of Georgia. I'm not going to be traveling the United States like a lot of people do for their big years. And so, for me, all of my attention is on Georgia right now. Later on, of course, we'll talk about some ABA rarities, maybe in some other episodes and stuff like that. We'll definitely talk about, you know, if I get to go out of state birding or something, well, you know, I'll get to share about that. But for right now, Georgia is my main focus. So we've had some really cool rarities recently. On October 8th, a vermilion flycatcher was seen on the south end of Jekyll Island. That was a county first record for Glynn County down there. It seems like the bird has left now, which is sad because, you know, there's still a lot of people out there that wanted to see it. But, you know, that's really cool to have that in our state. It's not a state first, but it was a county first for Glynn County, so that's really neat. There was also a gray kingbird seen on St. Simon's Island, also down on the coast. And it was seen, this is really random, but it was seen near the Chick-fil-A on the island, like there at the Chick-fil-A and the Winn-Dixie Shopping Center, if you're familiar with the area. So, you know, I don't know if you are familiar with the area, but if you are, there you go. I actually got to see the bird on October 14th when I went on my big day. It was that day, it was in the parking lot of the Winn-Dixie. And so that was really cool. I had never expected to see that bird. I just drove over there to see if it was still there and just so happened to stumble across it. So it was really cool. So there's no more recent reports since the 14th when I saw the bird. So the bird may have moved on, but it was an easy one to spot. So if you're in the area or if you're planning on traveling to the area, I would recommend, you know, just making a pit stop over there at Chick-fil-A and seeing if you can find it. Also, one of the rarities that's been around for a while now, I got to see it on my big day, was the Egyptian geese that have been hanging out in Tattnall County. Also a super easy bird to see. I mean, it was just one of those things. You pull up, you see it, you take a picture, and you move on. And what made me so mad is I took pictures of these geese and then completely forgot that they were on my SD card, and I wiped my SD card to make room for new pictures and lost the pictures. So I was really mad about that. But it was really cool to see. You know, it was just one of those awesome opportunities to see these birds. But they're hanging out around the lake at the Glenville Recreation Department. So I don't know if you live in the area or, you know, if you're not far away, you want to take a drive out there. It's definitely worth a stop because this bird is just really cool looking. It kind of looks ugly, you know, your first, you know, sight of it. But I actually got to get really close to the birds and got some really good looks at their feathers and things. It's just a beautiful bird. If you appreciate birds, you're going to appreciate this one. There was a long-billed curlew, was seen at the Jekyll Island Visitor Center on October 10th. But it also seems to have been a one-day wonder. Unfortunately, I did not get to see that one. And I looked and looked. I was at the visitor center on my big day for almost 2 hours just watching the birds because it's a beautiful place, has a lot of birds, and I never saw it. So I was kind of disappointed, but it is what it is. And then finally, Sapelo Island has been popping out a lot of stuff recently. We had some clay-colored sparrows out there, multiple records of that. And the plain chachalacas have been out there, which is really cool. And they've been out there for a long time. And so, you know, if you have time to take the ride over to Sapelo and go see the plain chachalaca, that's something that's not normally ever seen in Georgia. So the fact that it's here is pretty cool. And goodness only knows how long it's going to be here. So, you know, take advantage of the opportunity while you can. So, you know, that's really cool. In birding news, I'm going to try to have more like birding news and stuff coming up soon. But for today, the only thing I've got listed on here was the Rio Grande Valley Birding Festival is coming up in November. A really cool opportunity to go see some stuff that, you know, you don't see anywhere else in the United States. I mean, there's a lot of birds down there that you really just have to travel there to see. As much as I'd love to get out there and, you know, enjoy the Rio Grande Birding Festival, I am not going to be able to do that. Work's just a little bit too crazy right now. But I'm going to sit at home and I'm going to enjoy watching the checklists come in and reading some of the rarities that show up. I'll be on eBird a lot during the festival so I can watch that. But 2023 is my year, guys. I mean, I am going to the Rio Grande Valley Birding Festival in 2023. I mean, it's just going to happen. I'm setting that as my goal. I would go next year, but, you know, why would I, you know, spend the money, use the time to go out to Texas on a year that I'm supposed to be focusing on Georgia birds? I mean, it would be my luck that I'd go all the way to Texas and then something crazy rare would be reported in Georgia and I'd miss it because I'm in Texas. So 2022 is not happening, but the following year, absolutely. So if you're going out to the Rio Grande Valley Birding Festival, enjoy, see some rarities for me. I think she says spot the rarities for me, the wife in the big year. Only birding people would get that, but anyway, so, y'all have fun, see a lot of good birds and, tell them that they need to be back in 2023 for me. So moving on to our main content, today. I wanted to start by just saying, you know, I'm new to podcasting and, you know, this is a new journey for me. I plan on having some people on here with me. My voice is probably one of those voices that you get tired of listening to. So I'm going to plan on having some people on here with me. Hopefully I can talk my little sister into coming on with me. And, you know, we'll be able to, you know, discuss stuff where it's not me talking to you. It's me and other people were discussing stuff, and it just kind of turns into a conversation. That's kind of what I want the podcast to look like. But I decided to start this new podcast journey just because I wanted to have an outlet to share news and share stories from my 2022 big year. And, you know, that's just, I'm really looking forward to being able to share that with y'all. Whether it's just my friends that tune in or my family that tunes in, or if this turns out to be something that, you know, birders across the country see, and listen to, or, I mean, heck, even if it goes worldwide, that'd be great. But, you know, I just wanted to be able to share those stories, as they pop up. And, you know, until 2022, of course, we're still going to talk about birds. We're going to talk about the birding experiences I have between now and then, but still, I'd love to share all that with you. But it wasn't until the past year or so that birding really took a grip on my life. Starting in October of 2020, I began listening to a lot of books on Audible that were about birding. I spent a good amount of time in my car. I still do. I drive a lot, so I listen to those books while I'm driving. At the time, the job that I was currently in, well, I'm not going to say the job, but the position I was currently in, it opened up opportunities throughout the day for me to listen to my audiobooks while I was working. And so I listened to books then as well. And so I listened to a lot of birding books. And the first book, that I listened to about, you know, a birding adventure was the classic, the one that's now a hilarious film. It stars Jack Black and Steve Martin and Owen Wilson. Any movie that you get the three of those in, obviously it's going to be good. But The Big Year, you know, the book was amazing, and then I finally found the movie on Disney Plus. Shout out to Disney Plus. Thank you for having that movie on there. But so if you haven't seen the movie, stop right now, don't listen to another word, and go watch The Big Year and then come back, and it'll make a whole lot more sense. But a quick synopsis, you know, the three main characters are all doing a big year. They're competing against one another to see who can see the most bird species in a calendar year. And, you know, big years require a lot of finances and a whole lot of time, which makes them something difficult. That's not everybody gets to do a big year. That's just part of the I don't know, the mystery behind it. It's, you know, not everybody gets to do it. Only the most serious birders do big years, and it requires a lot of work and a lot of determination. But anyway, after reading The Big Year, I started dreaming about one day, you know, how awesome it would be to do something like that. You know, how great it would be to be able to celebrate birds in that way. But if you know a little bit about me, I'm in my early 20s. I'm working an amazing job, but it is a full-time job. I love it, but I couldn't bring myself to take a whole year off of work and do a big year. On top of that, the loan that a big year would require for me would be bigger than my first home loan. And there's no way I'm about to do that to myself this early in life. I do not want to set myself into that much debt. I'm just not about that. I know that it would be worth it. You know, a big year is worth every penny that you spend. And so it would be worth every penny. But, you know, did I really want to do that and set up my future based on that now? And so I thought about it a lot because I was seriously considering it. I really was. But I opted to give up on dreaming about that for the time being and focus on my work and saving as much money as I possibly could. But if you fast forward a little bit, that was October of last year. If you move to June of this year, it was June 5th. I'll never forget it. After a crazy set of circumstances, I found myself at home by myself with nothing to do. And if you don't know me, me being bored and not having anything to do is a bad thing, because I have to have something to do. It's just like, I have to be busy. So I grabbed my camera and my binoculars. All I grabbed was a bag of trail mix and a water bottle besides that. And I got in the car and started driving towards Tybee Island on the Georgia coast. After about 3 hours in the car, I pulled in at Tybee. The sun had just come up, and I whipped out those binoculars and I started birding. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It turned out to be one of the most memorable days in birding so far in my life. And of course, there may be days in the future that take place, but right now, this is one of the best days of birding I've had. I went to the beach, but I had to walk. And when I was walking, I came across a tricolored heron, which was really cool. I love tricolored herons. They're beautiful in my opinion. So that was really cool. But I looked up because I heard something, and above my head was a magnificent frigate bird. And, a bird that I had always dreamed of seeing, but I was like, oh, they're pelagics, you know, what are the chances of me seeing that? And then here I am at Tybee Island and I look up and there's a magnificent frigate bird, which was really cool. I was already excited, but I went out to the beach and I was birding on the north end to start. I was out there for a little bit and then I got in my car and drove to the south end of Tybee, so I could bird at the south beach. And while I was at the south beach, the tide had gone out. There was a big sandbar out there, and my binoculars are not the best. I didn't have a scope at the time. And I looked out and I saw this gull, and it looked unlike any sort of gull I had ever seen before. It was very dark, like a very dark gray. At the time, it was in breeding plumage, and so it had the white head. And then I could, in my binoculars, see enough of the bill to see that it was red and black and not that orange or the yellow and red and, you know, all that stuff. It was red and black. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is that? And so I pulled out my field guide, and the only thing that matched it was a Heerman's gull. But that's a West Coast bird. Like, what the heck? What is it doing in Georgia? And so I had already had a couple run-ins with some eBird reviewers, and I by no means am I saying anything bad about eBird reviewers. It's just I did not want to report it, get flagged for it. And because my camera lens was just, I didn't have the good lens back then, I didn't want to face the fact that they weren't going to believe me. Under no circumstances, what is anybody going to believe that I saw a Heerman's gull in Georgia? But I left the island before the lunch rush even showed up. Like, I was there for a few hours, that's it. And after birding a few other spots, I headed home. And the end of the story about the Heerman's gull, just a quick off topic, it actually turned out that it was a Heerman's gull, and it's been hanging out at Tybee Island for several months now. And so I did go back and change it on my checklist, and because I was like, okay, well, other people are reporting it, it's being confirmed, that's what I saw, and I was like, now I'm not as worried about it being denied by the eBird reviewers. So I went ahead and reported it. But back to my big year and how I got to the big year. When I was driving home from Tybee that day, I realized that Georgia had this massive wealth of great habitat for all sorts of different birds. I mean, we've got our wetlands, we've got mountain forests, we've got grassy plain areas, which aren't really plains, but hey, they're close. We've got beaches and salt marsh and swamps. And so, I mean, the potential to see 250 or even 300 species of birds in the state was pretty good. So why not do a big year in Georgia? I started thinking through the details. Due to my job and how long I've been at my job, I would have 100 hours of PTO to use in 1 year. And then, of course, I'd have my normal weekends and the holidays. And so living in the South Metro area, well, not really South Metro, but south of the Metro Atlanta area, I could realistically drive anywhere in the state for a day trip of birding. Some of those days would be painfully long and exhausting, but it was doable. We always have some sort of rarity hanging out around the state, but especially in migration season, we get a ton of them. So really at this point, the only thing stopping me from doing a big year was my own stubborn brain. And I am stubborn. Trust me. Nevertheless, I decided that I should do this while I had the opportunity, so I didn't know what was going to happen in the year. I still don't know what's going to happen in the year. I don't know if something may happen that would prevent me from continuing. I don't have answers. But if I don't do it now, who knew when I'd have this chance again? So it was settled. I wasn't going to look back on my life and have regrets about not doing this. So I started making plans for a big year. Ever since then, I've been studying rarities and hotspots like crazy. I mean, I'm watching stuff like a hawk, pun intended. Every day when I get my eBird rarity email for the state of Georgia, I go to my custom-made map on Google Maps, and I add a location marker for each observation, giving the name and date the scene. It's not hard to make a custom map on Google Maps, so if that's something you're interested in, you know, definitely, you know, look into it. It's super easy to learn. But I did this because I can then visualize where the rarities are. I started looking at gear and, you know, figuring out what I needed to make my year successful, where I needed to be in each season to make the most time of my birding. This is going to happen. I mean, I just kept telling myself that, trying to encourage myself to keep going on. After thinking about the big year some more, you know, I decided that it would be best if I continued to work full time during the year. That's going to help finance it. But, you know, with the time that I have available to me to take off of work, and then also, you know, just the weekends and the holidays I talked about earlier, that's going to give me plenty of time, I think, and I believe, to be able to do something like a big year in Georgia. So I'm trying to avoid as much debt as possible, you know, like anybody would. But I'm excited for this. You know, to wrap up talking about the big year a little bit, I'm just generally excited about this. You know, I'm not looking for this to become something that turns into a book like The Big Year and a movie and all that stuff. And I'm not looking to find, you know, an ornithology career that gets offered to me because I did such a great job on my big year or anything, you know, crazy like that. I'm doing this because it's going to be fun. It's going to teach me a lot. It's going to put valuable information into the eBird system, which is going to be great. And it's just going to be an experience that I'm going to live with for the rest of my life. It's going to be an experience that will remain as a memory for the rest of my life, something I can tell my kids and my grandkids about. You know, so it's going to be awesome. I do want to throw in a couple, you know, a couple plugs here. I do have an Instagram that I'm keeping track on. My Instagram is at @jharty_bigyear. I know, could you come up with a more difficult handle? We've got that one. There's also Twitter. I always think it's funny when someone who, you know, works with birds or something has a Twitter, because it just seems like a pun at that point. You've got a Twitter and you're talking about birds, but whatever. So my Twitter is @GeorgiaBirding. Feel free to follow me there as well. I'm not as active on Twitter as I am on Instagram, but I'm going to try to be more active on Twitter and things like that. You can also help donate to help out with the cost of this upcoming big year. I mean, just looking at the financial side of things for a big year, it's a lot to take on. And I don't know if I realized that. I really don't. And so you're welcome to go to GoFundMe. And there is a GoFundMe that is set up. You just have to do a quick search for John Hardy's Georgia Big Year. And it'll pull it up. And my goal is $2,000. It's not a whole lot. You know, I'm not looking to make money off of this by any means. I'm just helping to avoid debt. And so, you know, if you want to go and donate there, if you feel led to do that, that's awesome. You know, if not, that's cool too. You know, I just want to share this experience with you. And so, but yeah, big year. It's going to be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it and can't wait to see what happens. So since podcasting is all new to me, I honestly don't really know how often I'll be posting new content. I don't really know what that looks like yet. I'm hoping to stay on top of it and be consistent, looking at maybe once a week, if not once a week, every 2 weeks. But, you know, that'll depend upon life, especially next year, doing a big year, working full time, still have family, you know, those sorts of things. It's still going to be a lot. But I'm definitely going to try to be pretty frequent on here. If not, I will promise that I'll be active on my Instagram and possibly, you know, a little more active on Twitter as well, even though I'm not really active on there yet. So y'all bear with me here. You know, if the sound quality is awful, if you hate what I'm talking about, if it feels like I'm just rambling, you know, bear with me here. I'm learning. So if you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can feel free to reach out to me through any of the social media I already mentioned, or you can just type me out a quick email to t63john2@gmail.com. I know, what is it with me and the difficult tags? It's just awful. So, you know, you can reach out to me that way. I would love to hear from you. If anyone listens to this podcast, I would love to hear from you and just hear your thoughts, hear what got you onto my podcast, you know, those sorts of things. Who knows, maybe you're one that I'd like to interview to, you know, have included on my podcast one day. I'm not looking for famous people. You know, it'd be great if I could get, you know, Sibley or somebody like that, you know, or some people involved with Georgia Audubon. You know, I'd love to be able to interview some of them. But at the end of the day, this is just a conversational podcast. So I'd love to interview people who are beginners in birding. I'd love to interview people who all they do for birding is fill a feeder and watch the birds. You know, that is the meat to the birding community, is the people who do the simple stuff too. Not everybody is insane like I am, you know, doing crazy things with birds. And just because you're not doesn't mean you're any less of a birder than I am. If you watch the birds, you're a birder. And, you know, welcome to the club. So I'd love to hear from you guys. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. That allows me to be able to spread the word about birds further. More people will be able to hear the podcast. And so definitely do that. Also, the rating and reviewing helps me learn, you know, what is good about my podcast, what is bad about my podcast, what I can change. You know, like I said at the beginning of the podcast, you know, some of this is just what I'm going to be doing. But, you know, I'd love to hear from you either way. You know, good, bad, ugly. I'd love to hear from you so that I can learn from it. Thank you so much for listening. If you've made it this far, I appreciate you more than you realize. I really, truly am excited for this whole podcast thing and setting out on this new journey with the podcast and also the big year. I'm really looking forward to it, and I look forward to, you know, just celebrating birds with you. So I will see you next time. Thanks for tuning in, and happy birding.